The Spirit of God enables us, part of the gifts of the Spirit, to prophesy and to have words of knowledge and things like that. And I felt that in the prayers this morning, there's been prophecy coming out, not sort of thus saith the Lord, but some of the things that have been coming out have been prophetic. And I want to just tell you about a word of knowledge that involved me. When I first became a Christian, I was at a conference in Liverpool, and the motorway, the M4 motorway, M5 motorway was being built, and it had got nearly to Bristol, whatever. And this word of knowledge came through. There are two brothers going down the M5, and when they get to the end where it's being made, there's going to be an accident, and you're to get out and minister. So, okay, we set off, and the fog came down, and the brother who was driving started to rebuke the fog, you know, we'll never get there in time. And then there was other delays, and we're thinking, we'll never get there in time. But lo and behold, when we got to there was a motorbike accident, and a man was just being taken into the ambulance, and this other brother who was driving went in and ministered to him. Now, I don't know what happened after that, but all I know is that God had said that when we got to the end of the motorway, there was going to be an accident, and whatever happened, we were going to get there at the right time. So that was very interesting. He seems to like telling stories, so I'll tell another one. There's a dear old boy that we know. He's not a Christian at all. And he's a bit dependent on, cider and so on. But he's a dear, real dear, and he's just local to us. And we were talking to him, and he said, I'm getting terrible, terrible nightmares, he said. And when I'm in bed, I'm getting frozen with fear, and I can't do anything about it. Vampires, terrible dreams. All I can do is eventually get up and walk around in the wood, in the lanes, and so on. And so Mary said to him, well, you don't need to have that. Jesus can set you free. So we invited him round. Now, he's had absolutely no church language instruction or anything. So we had to be very sort of basic or simple. And I said to him, you know, all these nightmares and all these fears and so forth are coming at you. They come at you. And Jesus can do something about it. And so I said, we're going to ask Jesus to come and stand in the way between you and all these things that are coming at you, all this fear and all these nightmares, to get in the way. That was the simplest way that I could say. So I prayed, Lord Jesus, come now and just stand in the way so that Mickey doesn't get all this stuff hitting him. And a few days later, we saw Mickey. He said, how are you? I said, how's the nightmares? He's all gone. He said, it's all gone. He said, I still dream, but he said, I dream of swimming, and I love swimming, he said. But, hallelujah. What does that say? Jesus can set you free. And what has, what's your name? Simon said, 3 or 4 times this morning, he can set you free. Hallelujah. Right, I'm just going to bring a little exhortation. I'm a bit here and there, but here we go. What are you here for? What's the purpose of your life? Why are you here? I'll tell you why. To please God. In Revelation 4 it says, and and for my pleasure they are created. He created all things, and for his pleasure we are created. I want to just tell you that that's what your purpose in life is, to be a pleasure to God and to please Jesus, to please him. Okay? He's bought you, redeemed you, and as a son of God, you're to be marching around and pleasing God, walking with Christ. It's lovely, that poster. I like that. Yeah. Yes, to please God. In the morning when I wake up, I sort of say, hello, Jesus. Hello, Father. I said, I'm here. I am. Just lead me into your will. I want to please you today. I want to be a pleasure to you. You bought me, redeemed me. I want to please you. So how can we please God? I'm a very simple person, so I'm afraid I'm not very good at high-tech stuff or whatever. Here we are. This is how you can please God. Talk to him. Come to Jesus and talk to him. That gives him pleasure. He wants to share your life with him. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants you to talk to him. Come and talk to him. Talk to him all the time. Keep talking to him. Tell him about your troubles. Tell him about your victories. Tell him about you need a bit of help here and there. Talk to him. What does that mean? It means you're beginning to have a relationship. Talk to God. And when you talk to God, when you talk to Jesus, smile. You give him pleasure. You give him pleasure. And that's not a hard thing to do. You've just got to get on with it. But don't just wait until Sunday. Just, even if you're muttering under your breath, keep talking to Jesus. It's making a relationship, and it gives him pleasure. In the Song of Solomon, the Lord says, I want to see your face. I want to hear your voice. So that's what I do first in the morning. I say, hello, Lord, I'm here. And I want to please you. He wants to see your face, and he wants to hear your voice, and that gives him pleasure. Hallelujah. The next way is to come to rest. The Lord spoke to me and said, lay hold on rest. Because I'm someone that, give me a worry or trouble or anything, and I lay hold of that. And I've got to not lay hold of those things, because they just lay hold on rest. Let not your trouble. If you're in distress and burdened with a load of care, God is uncomfortable. As a parent, if you see your children in distress, you are uncomfortable. And when you come to rest, hand it over and come to rest, God sighs a big sigh of relief, says thank goodness for that, and smiles. So when you come to rest, that gives him great pleasure. Yes? Hallelujah. Hand over the responsibility to him. If we're not in rest, we can't really hear the Lord's voice, because this worry is shouting at us, this responsibility is shouting at us, all these other voices are shouting at us, and we've got to just come to rest, and that'll give him pleasure. Let go. And the next point is how you can give Jesus pleasure is by getting free. You can give Jesus pleasure by getting free. Jesus died to set you free, and I'm going to read a scripture. This is, I'll just read it out. This is Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Sent me to heal or set free the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and liberty to them that are bruised. When you come to Jesus and you get set free from a broken heart, that gives Jesus great pleasure. He died to set you free. When you come to Jesus and get free from a broken heart, that makes him smile. That's why he died. He died to set you free. Hallelujah. But it's very expensive. It'll cost you. Because to have a broken heart, you may have had some terrible circumstances, great disappointment. You may have had great disappointment, and to let that go is very costly. It'll cost you a lot to be healed from a broken heart. Yes? Or if you've got a broken heart. I once went to a Salvation Army place, and they had a stage like that, and all along the bottom of the stage there, fairground lettering, it says, "Lay your broken heart here." And I identified with that. Hallelujah. Now, if you've got a broken heart, Jesus can set you free. Yes? I need an assistant. Now, I'm going to be me, and Simon's going to be God. All right? And you have to give your broken heart to God. You say, how do you do that? Well, you just do it. All right? So here's my broken heart. All right? Don't take it back again. It's the easiest thing to do. When you give your heart, your broken heart to Jesus, give it to him and leave it there. Don't take it back and let him set you free from a broken heart. Now life, thank you very much. Life is, we all have problems and distresses, and we do have broken hearts. Hallelujah. How about that? All along the bottom of the stage in fairground lettering, lay your broken heart here. Yes? Now the thing is, when you give your broken heart to Jesus and get set free from a broken heart, what do you think Jesus thinks? Wonderful. What happens to his smile? And what happens to all the people in heaven? Rejoicing. Been set free. Hallelujah. When you come to Jesus and you are set free from being a captive to certain things, when you're set free, that gives Jesus pleasure. He died to set you free. Are you a captive? Some people are captives to habits. I'm sure this doesn't apply here. Some people are captive to pornography. They're captives. My wife, when she was first a Christian, she was captive to sucking her hand like this. Do you mind?
I told them that yesterday.
Well, here we go again. She sucked her hand like this. And one of the sisters says, "You needn't do that." She said, "Needn't? I can't help it. Every time I put it down, up it goes. I'm in bondage." She was captive. Now, I only say that because, well, it's come to set the captives free, and it doesn't have to be heavy. It can be all sorts of little habits and things that he's come to set you free. And then one day, it was gone. She never did it again. She never did it again. And she couldn't help doing it. Jesus set her free, set the captives free. And when you get free, Jesus is really pleased. How can we please Jesus? This is what he came for. He died to set us free. When you come to Jesus and get set free from bruising, that gives him pleasure. He died to set you free. What do you mean bruising? Well, bruising inside in your emotions. Some people have experienced terrible things and they're terribly bruised inside. Emotionally, they are bruised. When you come to Jesus and get free from being bruised inside here in your soul, that gives him pleasure. Thank goodness, he says, and a smile comes over his face. They've got free. They've been set free from being bruised. Hallelujah. Last one is thank him, praise him, love him, worship him, sing to him. Keep talking to him, keep singing to him. That's why you learn these choruses. Mary can practically recite the Wesley hymns. Keep singing, keep singing, keep talking. You say, well, how do I come to Jesus? What do you mean come to Jesus? How do I come to Jesus? Well, just do it and talk to him. Just talk. Here I am, Jesus. I'm not going to say, if you're God. I'm going to say, I know you're God and I know you're here. I'm going to talk. Just talk to him. That's how you, it's not a heavy thing to come to Jesus. Just talk to him. Talk to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. I think I've finished. But what I wanted to leave with you was that you've been bought, redeemed, and as a son of God, you're here to please Jesus. Hallelujah. You can please Jesus relationship-wise by talking to him. You can please Jesus by getting free. Hallelujah. You can please Jesus by coming to rest. And getting free from a broken heart, come to him, give him your broken heart. And when you get free from a broken heart, as I said, it is costly and it may take a bit of time, free from a broken heart, there's rejoicing in heaven. And that gives him pleasure. That's what he died for. If they don't come into these things, what was the point of me dying, you know? He died, and so he needs his reward. Hallelujah. So, you're here to please him. Amen.
I'm afraid I'll have to come over here because I need to put my books somewhere. Can I get rid of this? And Tony didn't say, but at the end of that verse in Luke chapter 4, it says, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. All those things, healing broken hearts, setting captives free, healing bruised, all that, he says, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. That's what's acceptable to God. So it's tremendous. Now, I'm going to pray for myself. Father, I just pray that you would order what you want to say, Father. I pray you just order it. Thank you that we sang in one of the choruses that you make order out of chaos. And I just ask you, Lord, to order what you want to say, Lord. Thank you. Amen. I know it might sound funny, but my uncle used to say my head was full of robins and they flutter all over the place. So I'm never quite sure how things are going to pan out. What I want to share with you this morning is I want to talk about value. What is valuable? And in the world, you know what's valuable. You only have to look at a magazine and you'll see what the world thinks is valuable. It's body beautiful, beauty, wealth, riches. You look at, I don't, but you can look at Hello magazine or you can look at any of these magazines. You will see real beauty and you think, oh my goodness, they're all so beautiful. Wealth, they're all rich. And brains. Wealth, beauty, and brains. How do you fit into that category? I often think about this. How do we fit in to the world's value system? Just look at a few magazines and you'll see what the world thinks is valuable. In the New Testament, Jesus gives us pictures of how people think, what people think is valuable, and what God thinks is valuable. And he gives you specific pictures to look at. All the stories in the New Testament, they are all pictures. And it's our job to enter into that picture and say, oh, this is what you are saying. And he takes, to tell the stories, he takes you into people's houses, right? And one of the stories where he does this is when Jesus is invited into the Pharisee's house, right? Jesus will go anywhere where he is invited. He will. Jesus is not proud. He is utterly humble. He is utterly humble. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. Come to me and you shall find rest for your souls. Why would you find rest for your souls in coming to Jesus? Because he was the only person on earth who was in rest. Yes. And you can only give what you have got. Right? And Jesus says, come to me. I'll give you what I've got. I will give you rest. That's why Tony was talking about being free. Jesus said, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. I am completely free, Jesus said. My whole life I was utterly free. I was free to heal. I was free to glorify my Father. I was free to yield up to death. I was so free, death couldn't hold me. I rose from the dead. I was so light. I was so free. I can give you freedom. I'm completely free. You minister always, always, always. When you're meeting people, you minister what you are. That's very important. That's why what Tony said, you must get free of all these burdens. Come unto me, all ye who are weary with carrying burdens, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. All these things constitute burdens which God doesn't want us to carry because he wants us to be ambassadors of another kingdom. where it says in Scripture we are free citizens of heaven. Are you a free citizen of heaven? That's what we are. We are free citizens of heaven. So, value. So, Jesus is then welcomed into the Pharisee's house. And in he goes. And the Pharisee shows Jesus no value at all. He does not value Jesus. He judges him. Right? In goes Jesus. The Pharisee didn't wash his feet. He didn't honor him. He didn't honor him with a kiss. He didn't honor him at all. And so Jesus said, I'll show you how to value me. I will show you. This is what's going on in the story. I will show you. So he brought a woman in. He brought a woman into the Pharisee's house. And this woman, well, there's three stories where this happens. So if I get the three stories mixed up, I've got all the scriptures here. This woman comes in. And Jesus has obviously ministered to her. It might have been Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. She had been made free. And whoever it was, whichever woman it was, she came in. And she came in behind Jesus because she didn't feel she had any value. And she washed his feet with her tears. And then she let her hair down. And when you come together like this, we come together to wash Jesus' feet. Hallelujah. That's one another. When you come, if you've got something to pray, pray it. It might wash somebody's feet in the room. If you've got a prophecy, give it. It might be the means of setting somebody free in the room, right? This is why Jesus took a towel and washed the disciples' feet. He said, this is what I want you to do. And we are Jesus' feet people that stand on the earth. And this woman, she came in and she let her hair down. Do you know, I think when we worship, that's the place that God wants us to get to, where we let our hair down. That's an expression they use in the world, isn't it? They say, oh, so-and-so let their hair down, usually when they're drunk. Well, we have to be filled with the Spirit, and we have to let our hair down. What does a woman's hair represent? It represents her glory. And she laid all her glory down at Jesus' feet, and she wiped his feet with her hair. And what did the Pharisee say? Remember, it was in the Pharisee's house. He said, if this man were a prophet, he would have known what manner of woman this is that touches him. Oh. Jesus spent his life touching people that were untouchable. That's the only hope that we have got. We were untouchables. And Jesus reached out his hands and he touched us and he lifted us up and he gave us value, right? Jesus gave you and me value. How did he do it? In 1 Peter, it says, for you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as gold and silver. Now, I don't know if you ever watch Antiques Roadshow or Flog It or Bargain Hunt. Those are three programs we watch, in which the world values things, doesn't it? It values things. How much is this worth? How damaged is it? Who made it? All those things. And they're very keen to put the value on things. And then sometimes they say on Bargain Hunt, well, I'm sorry to tell you, dear, you've bought this treasure to me, but it used to be worth at least £1,000 in 1984, but now I'm afraid it's gone down in value. Yeah, have you ever seen them say that? It's gone down in value. Now, it says, we were not redeemed with corruptible things from the empty lifestyle that we inherited from our fathers. But we were corrupt. We were bought with the precious blood of Christ, not with corruptible things like gold and silver. If you follow the news and the banks, why have we got so many banks and safes and things like that? Because that's what people value, their money. If you're rich, you've made it, the world will credit you with value. Yes? So we've got banks where we store all our money, which we can't take with us. And but Jesus said, God didn't measure our value by anything. Right? You understand me? By anything. He valued us with his own blood. Now, gold and silver, the gold rate goes up, then it goes down. The silver rate goes down most of the time, but at the moment it's not too bad, right? Now, if we were redeemed like that by something that goes up and down, if you got up in the morning and you felt pretty low, you'd think, oh, God won't love me today because I'm feeling pretty low. Or, oh dear, look at the house. Oh dear, I'm not doing very well. My value is going down. Can you hear what I'm saying? People, they don't say they think like that, but if they're not doing very well sometimes, they think, perhaps I won't go to the meeting this morning because I'm not very acceptable. We are accepted on a different basis from the world. The reason the devil loves to make people feel nothing, and he seeks to rob them of their value, because the devil does seek to rob them. It says in John 10, the thief only comes to kill and to steal and to destroy, right? And thieves don't steal rubbish. If they go into a house, they know just what they're going for. And the devil will do that to you. He'll come in, he'll steal your standing in Jesus if he can. What's one of the great things that you hear? People have got low self-esteem. Do you hear that all the time? So-and-so's got low self-esteem. Jesus esteemed you worthy of his death, right? That gives you standing. That gives you, oh, that lifts up your head, right? That lifts up your head. Jesus, you died for me. That gives you standing. That's why Jesus became nothing. You know, in Luke's Gospel 23, it says, and the soldiers and the men of war set him at naught. That's what it actually says. They set him at naught. That's what the world is doing to Jesus at the moment. It is attacking everything that is precious to God. The media, the intelligentsia, the politics, it is attacking everything that is precious to God. You just have to read the paper and you can see. And they are trying to set Jesus at naught. But do you know that that is why Jesus came? He came specifically to be set at naught. If you read in Philippians, it tells you that. I had all sorts of scriptures, but I'm not going to. But I'll just read the one in Philippians where he says, he tells you, it's all right. I came to be set at naught. Philippians chapter 2. It says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself. He made himself of no reputation. Took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself even further and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. He deliberately made himself naught. Why? So that he could save things that are not. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians. Things that are not. Things that are despised. Jesus was despised. Things that are not. To bring to naught the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. None of the things that the world values. They are going to have no glory in heaven at all. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Now, if you were considered valuable enough for the Son of God to die for the sons of Adam, right? He gave a son for a son. He didn't buy us with silver or gold. He gave a son for a son. And wherefore God, because he did it, it was very wonderful, you know. You think how important reputation is. You think how important it is. Jesus laid it aside. People even thought he was somebody he wasn't. They thought he was John the Baptist. They thought he was Elijah. They counted him worthless. Jesus was sold by Judas. Judas couldn't take it that Jesus wouldn't use his ability to become king. He couldn't take it. He knew that Jesus Christ could have taken over whatever he wanted to, whenever he wanted to, in every possible way, and could have reestablished Israel. He could have done. Judas was the most disappointed man in the Bible. He was the most offended and disappointed man in the Bible. He was so disappointed that he said, I can't take this anymore, I'm going to sell him. I am going to sell him. And he went and he sold him for 30 pieces of silver. What would 30 pieces of silver have bought in Bible times? It would have bought a common slave, right? Do you recognize that? A common slave? We were all common slaves to something or other. Or a beast for sacrifice. That was what the Pharisees and the high priest, 30 pieces of silver. That was all the value that was put on the Lord Jesus. And that was our value. Common slaves. He allowed himself to be bound. He allowed himself to be blindfolded. He allowed himself to be slapped in the face. He allowed them to pull out his beard. He allowed them to lead him away. He allowed them to take him to false judgments everywhere, because that's what happens to people in this world all the time. They're bound by all sorts of things. They're blindfolded. They don't know where they're going. They don't know where they've come from. They're led about by the nose by all kinds of things that the devil puts in their way. Jesus Christ, Saint Irenaeus said, out of his great love became what we are, that he might make us what he is. That's why Jesus went the way of the cross that he went, bearing shame and scoffing rude in my place. Condemned, he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a savior. The woman in... And now, I want to say this to you, because it takes us a long time to realize that we are valuable to God. I was watching the children this morning. I adore little children. I love them. They give me pleasure. I love their silly little antics. I see potential in them. Listen, God's like that with you and me. He doesn't mind about our silly little antics. He doesn't mind when we get things wrong. He doesn't mind as long as we keep on coming. Keep on coming. That man that was sitting there, he prayed about being overcomers. Do you know how you become an overcomer? You become an overcomer by coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and keep on coming and coming. That's how you become an overcomer. Whatever happens, you come to Jesus. Whatever happens, you come to Jesus. You don't let anything stop you coming to Jesus. Whatever. He's the only one that can help you anyway. Keep on coming and you'll become an overcomer. So this woman, she had been set free by Jesus. She had been absolutely set free, and she didn't care who knew about it. She knew she would be despised for what she did. She knew he would despise her. But Jesus has a way of turning it all round, and he said to this Pharisee, I know you don't value me. But this woman, she has anointed my head. She has washed my feet with her tears. And wherever the gospel is preached, what she has done will be spoken as a testimony for her. And do you know, in the 1990s, a fragment of the gospel was found in one of the museums in London. It was hidden in a little box of trinkets that had been shoved into one of the little cubicles. And that little bit of the gospel that was found, it was in bits, it was the story of that woman and what she had done. I thought that was just delightful. I bet Jesus loved it when they found that little tiny bit. He said, wherever the gospel is preached, what this woman has done. So she gave him value because he had given her value. Do you see? He had given her value, and she had something therefore to give to him. So there's that story. And then there's two men. I'll just do these two and then I'll stop. There are two men. Their stories are in Luke 18 and Luke 19. Luke 18 at the end is the story of the rich young ruler. He had it all together. He was rich. Don't think about riches just as money. That will blind you to the greater meaning of riches. It will blind you. Riches can be pride. It can be what I am able to do. The people that I know, my set, the church that I go to. Do you understand? Don't think of riches just as money. Because riches, actually money can often be the least of your riches. You can be really poor and rich in your poverty. You can. Your poverty can give you a certain pride. And God has to get rid of that just as much as he has to get rid of pride with a rich person. And the rich young ruler came to Jesus. He would never have come to Jesus if he hadn't expected to get the answer that he wanted. Right? He came expecting acceptance because he was a good boy. Right? He was a good boy. And Jesus said to him, go, sell all that you have. One thing thou lackest, sell all that thou hast, distribute to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. In heaven there is no money. You shall have treasure in heaven. In heaven, the treasure is love and peace and purity. This is real treasure. Love, joy, peace, purity. This is the real treasure. I found the pearl of greatest price. My heart doth sing for joy, and sing I must, for Christ I have. Oh, what a Christ have I. My Christ, he is my meat and drink, my medicine and my health, my portion, my inheritance. Yea, all my boundless wealth, Jesus. And so the poor young man went away, for he was very rich. His value system was to do with his worldly position and wealth. Then you come to another man who was very rich, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, it says in chapter 19, it says he was very rich. He was rich. Got two men here. He was rich, but he had come to the end of the power of his riches to satisfy him. And that's where God wants to bring every soul on earth, to the end of themselves to satisfy themselves. And he wanted to see this man who didn't have any house and didn't have any visible means of support, apart from a few women, it says, who ministered to him of their substance, right? But he seemed the freest man on earth, and he seemed to be doing miraculous and wonderful things that were outside the sphere of Zacchaeus' experience. And so he wanted to see this man. And so he climbed up a tree. That's what Jesus did to set us free. He climbed up a tree and he took us all with him onto that tree. That's what Jesus did. When Jesus died, says in Romans 6, I died with him. Right? So Zacchaeus here, he climbed up a tree and he didn't bargain for what he got. And Jesus came along and he said, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide at your house. And I want to just say, because I'm going to finish, Jesus is saying to you, I must. There's a must. There must always be a must. When you preach the gospel, there must always be a must in it. I must abide in your house. I want to live in you. I have bought you with my own blood. You are my treasured possession. You are my crown jewels. You are. I want you to hear this. You are precious. You're Jesus' crown jewels, he said. They shall be mine, saith the Lord, in the day that I make up my jewels. Yes, you're a jewel. If only people knew their value. If only you knew. And Zacchaeus said, all right, Lord, you can come into my house. The minute Jesus came into his house, his whole value system changed. His entire life value system changed. And that's what happens to us when Jesus comes into our house. We get a different worldview, we get a different value system, and we become, instead of gatherers in, we become givers out. Zacchaeus said, and Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said, yes, he said, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. And when you receive Jesus, it will change the way you see yourself. It will change the way you see others. You will not belittle anybody anymore because you know the value that God put on them. Life for life. And it will change your whole perspective on what is valuable and what isn't. I'll stop there. Kendrick wrote a song, "Is a Rich Man Worth More Than a Poor Man?" I don't know if you know that song. Look it up on the, it's a brilliant song. And he says how the world and the devil has skewed everything. And God wants to turn your world upside down and give us another value system. Right, should we just pray? Father, we thank you that you so loved the world. Thank you that you didn't come to condemn the world, but to save it. Thank you that you came into the world, Lord, as a man to experience the devastation that the fall had inflicted upon man. Thank you, Lord, that you died, the Son of Man, and you took all our death into yourself, that we might rise with you and become citizens of heaven and members of the kingdom of God and precious in your sight. And I pray, Father, that you would impart that to every soul, that they are infinitely precious. Amen.